In today's news headlines, Hurricane Michael slammed into the Florida panhandle on Wednesday, leaving a trail of destruction across hundreds of miles and a death toll of at least two. The storm is considered one of the strongest to ever hit the continental United States and ripped the roofs off of houses, downed structures, and submerged whole areas deep in water. Earlier this week, the hurricane was expected to hit land as a Category 3, but finally made landfall as a Category 4 and was even on the verge of being big enough to classify as Category 5. It moved rapidly, heading to Georgia and the Carolinas, where residents had not yet recovered from the devastation of Hurricane Florida, the slow-moving storm that killed dozens and caused untold damage this past summer. Hurricane Michael was downgraded to a tropical storm by nighttime. In the 167 years since storms were documented, there has not been a stronger hurricane to hit the Florida panhandle. Later on our show today, we'll speak with activist Candy White. She's with the Indigenous Environmental Network, and we'll discuss what is needed immediately for a just transition to a climate-friendly economy. While the storm was devastating Florida, President Trump was holding yet another campaign rally, this time in Pennsylvania. He opened his speech by briefly offering his thoughts and prayers to those caught in the storm, and then brightly offered, quote, "We will always pull through. We will always be successful at what we do. He added that he would travel to the state soon. Associated Press pointed out that 6 years ago, when President Barack Obama attended a political rally during Superstorm Sandy, Trump sharply criticized him, tweeting, quote, "Yesterday, Obama campaigned with Jay-Z and Springsteen, while Hurricane Sandy victims across NY and NJ are still decimated by Sandy. Wrong." During his Pennsylvania rally, Trump once more chastised Democrats for opposing his Supreme Court pick, Brett Kavanaugh, calling their actions a, quote, "national disgrace." He also claimed that his rival party wanted to, quote, "impose socialism and take over and destroy American health care." And he mocked the hashtag MeToo movement, saying it was preventing him from being able to say what he wanted to say.
Every Republican, I'd use an expression, you know, there's an expression, but under the rules of Me Too, I'm not allowed to use that expression anymore. I can't do it. It's the person that got away. See, in the old days, it was a little different. Pennsylvania, just do it anyway. I would do it, except for these people up there. They would say, "Did you hear what President Trump said? Did you hear what he said?" So there is an expression, but we'll change the expression. Pennsylvania was always the person that got away. That's pretty good, right? The person that got away.
That's President Trump at a political rally in Pennsylvania on Wednesday, essentially decrying the fact that he can't use sexist language in the era of hashtag MeToo. Newly seated Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh ruled on a case involving the rights of immigrants, and predictably he voted as Trump expected him to. According to the LA Times, quote, "Kavanaugh spoke up Wednesday in defense of the Trump administration's view that legal immigrants with criminal records must be arrested and held for deportation even years after they were convicted and completed their sentences." The case, which was brought by the ACLU, centers around a federal law that requires the detention and potentially the deportation of any non-citizen that has been convicted of a crime. It covers legal immigrants, too. The ACLU was contending that there ought to be a statute of limitations on whether a person can be arrested decades after a conviction and sentence. Kavanaugh thought there should be none, saying, quote, "Congress did not put in a time limit. That raises a real question with me whether we should be superimposing a time limit." On Wednesday, the FBI director, Christopher Wray, testified in front of the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee. Senator Kamala Harris, who sits on that committee as well as on the Senate Judiciary Committee, questioned Wray over the Kavanaugh FBI probe, and this was part of his response.
"I said the communication between the FBI and the White House for nominations, including judicial nominations, is through the FBI's security division, which has background investigation specialists, and the White House Office of Security. And that's where the communication always is. And I've spoken with our background investigation specialists, and they have assured me that this was handled in the way that is consistent with their experience and the standard process."
Did anyone in your agency receive any direction about the scope of the investigation directly from Don McGahn?
Well, I can't speak to what anybody throughout the organization might have received instructions on. My understanding is that the communications occurred between the White House's Office of Security and the FBI Security Division.
Do you know who determined that the FBI would not interview Judge Kavanaugh or Dr. Ford or the list of 40-plus witnesses?
Again, I would say what I said at the beginning, which is, as is standard, the investigation was very specific in scope, limited in scope, and that is the usual process, and that my folks have assured me that the usual process was followed.
Okay. And did the FBI look into allegations as to whether Judge Kavanaugh lied to Congress during his testimony?
That's not something I could discuss here.
That's Christopher Wray, head of the FBI, speaking to Senator Kamala Harris at a committee hearing on Wednesday about the Kavanaugh probe. A bill introduced into the Senate by Democrats to disallow short-term health insurance plans failed on Wednesday by a vote of 50-50. The bill covered plans that are allowed to discriminate against people with pre-existing conditions, a feature of plans that used to be common before they were banned by the Affordable Care Act and are now slowly being revived by the Trump administration and the GOP. The sole Republican to vote for the bill was Maine Senator Susan Collins. In international news, the controversy over the killing of Saudi-born journalist Jamal Khashoggi continues, with nearly two dozen U.S. senators calling on President Trump to investigate whether the Saudi government was involved. Khashoggi was a columnist for The Washington Post and a critic of the Saudi government. On Wednesday, The Washington Post reported that, quote, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, ordered an operation to lure Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi back to Saudi Arabia from his home in Virginia and then detain him, according to U.S. intelligence intercepts of Saudi officials discussing the plan. Friends and family members of the slain journalist held a press conference at the Post's offices on Wednesday.
We want answers about Jamal's disappearance in Turkey, and we gather here today to voice our concern, to ask for answers to so many questions primarily from the Saudi government, but also from others who might have information about the whereabouts of Mr. Jamal Khashoggi.
The reports surrounding Jamal's disappearance, if corroborated, would represent a new low on the part of a sovereign state in another sovereign state, turning a consulate into an abattoir.
That is Representative Jerry Connolly of Virginia, who was among those speaking at a press conference on Wednesday about the disappearance and killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi at a Saudi consulate in Turkey. And that does it for our headlines today.